Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 18th day of April. I'm Paul White, and I'm so thankful you're with me on this Lord's Day. I pray that you are blessed and favored where you are, and if we are helping supplement your spiritual diet today, we pray that the anointing on the Word and on what we are doing will be palpable in whatever area of your life that is needed today. And that you too can then take that word, not only be encouraged by it, fed by it, blessed by it, but then use that in someone else's life to do the same for them. Because that's really what we're all doing. We are sharing good news with one another so that, not that we get fat and immobile on all of the goodness, but so that we are better equipped to minister life to the saints. Well, I want to take you into the book of Jonah today as we continue the journey through Old Testament stories and a new covenant lens. I gave you the ultimate teaser at the end of yesterday's podcast that I think the vomiting up of Jonah on the beach, which is Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I think that correlates with something Jesus had to say to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation. Now, whether you did that homework or not, accepted that challenge and went and looked at it, you probably almost immediately, if you took the word vomit from the Jonah story of the whale vomiting Jonah on the beach, and you even if you didn't glance at the Laodicea chapter, but you know the tone and the literature of the chapter, you probably immediately caught the correlation between the whale vomiting Jonah and Jesus saying to Laodicea that he was going to vomit them or spew them, depending on your translation, out of his mouth. And in that, you have something very similar. You have the story of Jonah, whose attitude stinks, and he is swallowed up of the whale, taught a lesson, and then vomited out with the possibility of new life. He gets to make a choice. He can go into Nineveh now and do what he's called to do, or he can go find another boat and go do what he wants to do. But he has been swallowed up. He has faced the bars of hell, and he has experienced the darkest night of the soul, and now he's been given another chance. It's the ultimate redemption moment on the beach near Nineveh. And what we know as we read through Jonah is he accepts the challenge this time. And in the third chapter of Jonah, he moves on into Nineveh. He preaches. The people believe. This very short third chapter, strangely enough, the shortest in length. It's tied for the shortest in verses. But the shortest in word count of the entire chapter is the actual preaching and repentance of the people of Nineveh, which tells you that the story of Jonah is not about Nineveh. It's about Jonah, and it's about the experience that he has and the opportunity that he has to transform himself. And the whale is a part of that story in transforming him. But then he's vomited out on the beach, and then the decision must be made. Let me go to Revelation chapter 3. To the seventh church of the seven churches of Asia that Jesus addresses. It's the church of the Laodiceans. And Jesus says to them in verse 15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, now he's going to tell you what makes them lukewarm. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And then that famous, I rebuke and I chasten, I stand at the door and knock, comes up with me. But notice that Jesus gives a proclamation to Laodicea that he sees their condition, but they don't see their condition. He sees their condition. They are miserable and poor and blind and wretched and naked. He sees them as lukewarm water. They see themselves as something they're not. Lukewarm contains elements of cold and elements of hot. They see themselves as hot, or they see themselves as cold. Why does this illustration matter? Here's where we get lost in this. We almost always say that what Jesus is trying to do is show them that they're either mixed between, well, here's the old style. We say lukewarm's a metaphor for indifference or laziness. The newer style, the more grace-finished work style of translation is, lukewarm is an illustration of mixing the cold, which is the law, with the warm, which is grace. I struggle with both of those. Let me tell you why. I struggle with the old way of interpreting it. Lukewarm's a metaphor for indifference. The reason I struggle with that is because there's nothing in literature in which lukewarm would have been a metaphor for indifference. At that point in history, late 1st century AD, no one had ever, in any printed literature we have found, used lukewarm as a metaphor for indifference. So I don't buy that. And I don't buy the New Covenant way of interpreting, the grace way of interpreting, grace message, grace circle way of interpreting it, which is cold is the law, grace is hot, and so lukewarm is preaching a little bit of the law and a little bit of grace. I struggle with that because if you're going to take those to be literal representations of literal things, then you have to take Jesus' response to be literal. Can't just shut that faucet off. So his response then would be, I would rather you preach the law, or I would rather you preach grace than to preach both. I'm not sure that's the answer. I'm not sure that what Jesus is saying... I'm not saying there's not utility in that, but I'm not sure that's the way that the church at Laodicea could have possibly understood that instruction. What they would have closer understood was Jonah. Because the terminology that Jesus uses is something they've read before. A whale swallowed up a man who was good for nothing, who was accommodating at best. In the ancient world, lukewarm water was used for nothing. You used cold water, you used hot water, but you never used lukewarm water. You might cook and clean with one, you might store and clean with the other, but you had no use for lukewarm. To use the illustration of lukewarm preceding the phrase vomit you out of the mouth would have taken the audience, I think, back to a Jonah-like story. A man who thought one thing of himself, but God thought something else of himself. A man who saw himself as too good to do what he was called to do. In some respects, Jonah saw himself as rich and wealthy and in need of nothing, but didn't realize he was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And if you don't know that that's you, the belly of the whale will show you that that's you. Because where Jonah ends up reveals to him that he is poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. And what must be done with a Jonah in the belly of the whale is to spew it out of its mouth. Jesus's warning is not, you make me sick, I'm going to vomit. Jesus is taking his symbol-driven audience back to an Old Testament symbol and saying to them, get some direction, get some self-awareness, get out of the belly of this whale, do what you're destined to do, be who you're called to be, lest the end game for you be you get vomited up on a beach. Who wants that life? So don't run from who you are, Laodicea. Embrace who you are. Because if you run from who you are, you're lukewarm water. You're good for nothing. And I say to you, you're better than that. And that's what he says to them as well. More from Jonah tomorrow. God bless.